All right, guys, thanks for joining on the Hippocrats podcast. I am here with Becky. Say hi, Becky.
Hello.
Also known as RL Murphy on TikTok. So I came across her on TikTok, and she is a fantastic artist. And I read some of her comics on Webtoons, and they are addicting. So I had to get her on the podcast, and even got my girlfriend watching them. My girlfriend's farther than I am on them, so she said they're really good.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. So whatever got you started into the Webtoons?
You know, I guess it's probably a little bit of, I've always kind of written stories and I've always drawn pictures, and comics was kind of a way where I could do both. So it just kind of fell into my lap.
So were you, did somebody offer you that, or did you just kind of said, you know what, I'm going to write comics?
I think it started with an advertisement I kept receiving to read Webtoons. And I kind of dabbled in comic reading in my younger years, but I never thought that they'd be formatted the way that they are. You know, they're usually on pages with frames and all of these other things, and in books. And so to find them as a vertical scrolling format in order to tell the story, it was just so captivating for me.
Way easier to read it the way that you have it. Than I have a regular Star Wars comic book next to me right now, and I would much rather do it in the format that you do yours.
Right? It's very, very linear, and I love that.
it's when you do the introduction on your Webtoons, you scroll up and all of a sudden you see the introduction. It's almost like watching a TV show.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I love about it. It's so much easier to, you can't like glimpse with the side of your eye, like something that happens that looks shocking. You know, it actually pops up in front of you as time goes, and it's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I love about it as well, is it's just very, very in order.
How long have you been doing, is it Luna's Love, right? Or is it Love Luna?
Love Luna.
Love Luna, yes, okay.
Like a sign off on a letter.
How long have you been doing that one?
Almost a year. On April 23rd, that was the first episode I ever posted.
No kidding. So almost a year anniversary. Awesome.
Yep. I know. Perfect timing.
You need to get a lot more people to see it because is amazing. The story is awesome. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you would know what I'm talking about. You're about the same age as me, but if you remember back on like the flip phones, you could buy those little cheap video games. And I used to buy those, like the dating ones where you have to like go on dates and you make decisions, and you know, they either that's what it kind of reminds me of. You know, there's like connections in there, you know, when she's attracted to the detective and stuff like that, you know, just the little scenes like that. It just totally reminds me of that, the way it's drawn out and everything.
That's so awesome.
It's very nostalgic.
Very old school Sims.
Yeah, and, you know, I love the romance stories and stuff like that. I haven't gotten too far into it. I'm only halfway through, so I don't know if there's anything, like, you know, romantic, you know, in there or not. But I'm looking forward.
I won't spoil it for you.
Probably why my girlfriend's already farther than I am. She loves that stuff, too, so.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. So how long have you been drawing? I mean, I'm assuming you've been drawing since you were a kid.
Forever. Yes, I can't really... Yeah, just as long as I can remember. I mean, I was that obnoxious kid that colored on the walls, and I'm sure that's, you know, how every artist says that they started out.
Well, good. My kids are going to be artists then, because that's what they draw on the walls.
It's perfect. Yep.
No, it sucks.
It's hard to get off. It's
Arm and Hammer erase wipes are the best.
Those are a lifesaver.
Yeah, they are. So, your drawings that you do on your comic, are those actual drawings, or do those on the computer?
Because I do them digitally.
Okay.
Thank you. I sketch them out. Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's all digital art, but it's basically, I mean, it's like traditional art, but cheating, because if you make a mess, you can just hit the undo button. Multiple layers without ripping your paper. So yeah, no, it's just nice little.
And do you think up these? Do you think of the stories there? Do you kind of like get ideas from friends? And I know you're hinting at the idea that there's some inspiration from real life onto the story. So
we'll
get into that in a little bit.
Yes, a little bit. I kind of pull inspiration from everyone and everything. So yeah, I feel bad for the people who have met me. They're going in.
So I guess if you would like to, if you could kind of give my listeners more of a summary of what the story is about.
Oh,
I think
sure.
You do a better job than me.
Oh, well, it starts out basically. It's a woman who has a stalker who she hasn't met, she hasn't had any interactions with, other than he leaves letters around for her to find. And there are photographs in the letters some of the time. And basically, he's just total creep. She's gone to the police. But I did a little bit of psychology in a little college course. And I love the psychology behind those kinds of behaviors. And so it's been kind of fun to dive into the effects that it would have on someone feeling like they're prey on top of somebody, you know, the relationships around them that crumble. I kind of wanted to, you know, touch on some of that mental health that that kind of situation causes.
You know, I almost feel like that's why a lot of women would really get attached to the story, because I feel like that kind of almost goes into the same realm of women who are with like narcissistic men and almost feel
right.
like, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like the women who have those kind of situations will really get caught up into the story.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, that trapped, suffocating, you don't really.
Yeah.
Mean, yeah.
Either sure. that or they won't want to be like, no,
right?
I've had enough of that. But
I
think, yeah. So I really think that that's what is going to draw a lot of women to this. And I'm going to take portions of this and put them on my TikTok so people can actually see the intro.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. I want to read it, but when it comes to the part where Luna's talking, it's going to have a manly voice because I don't have a woman to do the part. But
That's fair.
But I think they're really going to like it. And I'm hoping a lot more people will come and see it, and I hope a lot of people actually join your Patreon as well. So it is amazing.
Thank you.
So I am a political page, and typically I like to talk politics a little bit, and that's why you started following me in the first place, I presume.
It is. Yes.
So what was it about my page that drew you to me?
I love the idea that, I don't know, you know, I mean, the racial tensions and the political tensions and the just economic tensions, just everything is just so tense, like so much right now. And
yeah, everything's so controversial.
Yes. And it's so nice to find people who are toward the middle, who are a voice of reason. I feel like you either get people who are like, no, and you people are all whining too. But then there's the other side that's like, obviously,
do the exact same thing.
Censorship. Yep. And I mean, one side has the power right now. And so I'm a little bit frustrated. I'm a little outspoken on those things. And so.
But it's funny because that side will tell you that they don't have the power.
Exactly. And it's a very
frustrating.
Yes, it's so polarized. And so when I meet people, I come across people who seem to have very calm, rational thought. It's a breath of fresh air for sure.
You know, it's funny because that's not how I actually wanted to start this. I actually wanted to kind of be like in your face cocky. And when I started making the videos, it didn't feel right. So then I started talking like I normally would. And I'm like, this feels like me. This is better. So that's how I ended up. And
people love it.
I realized that a lot of people compliment that. And I'm like, wow, I didn't expect that because I thought I'd be putting most people to sleep. You know,
oh,
like
no.
The way I talk, I was like, you're so calm and you should do bedtime stories. Like, I don't know if this is good for my page or bad.
I think it's wonderful, but, you know, I'm kind of
I appreciate
off
it.
Also. I don't know if you can take very much, you know, my opinion, but.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Even, you know, it's funny because you say I'm center, which I consider myself, you know, common sense is pretty much centered to begin with, because you
that's
can see the hypocrisy on both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And even my views have gotten me banned before, and I'm not even extreme.
Not
you
at
know?
All. Mm-hmm.
So it's just a crazy world that we live in, that you can't speak your mind if it's controversial to the popular.
It's so toxic. Absolutely. And I've been attacked for my opinion as well. And I feel like the opinion I'm giving is just very. Maybe it's because it's devoid of emotion. I'm not sure, but it's just, I try
that's
to be rational.
That's exactly what it is, I bet. Yeah.
And I think
anytime you don't put any emotion into your beliefs, people get up, they get mad at you.
They
like,
get
how
angry.
Do you not feel? It's like, I do it on purpose.
Yes. And that's why I push integrity over empathy so much with
exactly.
my children and my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, no, because I don't want you to think that you can only do right by somebody if you empathize or sympathize with them. You do right by them because it's the right thing to do. And it takes mm-hmm. the emotion out of it. It also takes the emotional decisions out of it, which, you know, I prefer.
Yeah, I mean, there is a time for emotion, but typically the best decisions that are made are without. And you know, mm-hmm. I know this is a very good example or not, but I try to use this. Like, let's say you're in the military and there's a child out in the middle of the open and there's bullet fire everywhere and you're with your whole squad and you're on a mission to try and like save a whole group of people. You know, your emotions would make you want to go save the little child because mm-hmm. you feel terrible and you don't want them to die, but it's at the risk of your entire like platoon, you know?
Right, and, absolutely.
So you have to stay rational, because if you let your emotions get to you, you could risk everything. You could risk hundreds of thousands of lives.
Absolutely. You know? Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that. And they don't realize it when they're making their decisions, when they're telling you their opinion, that it's just based off of how they feel. And it's not actually based off of, you know, anything that's logical.
Absolutely. And logic is so important, especially in an environment right now in the United States that just seems like everything's emotion. Everything is emotion. And if you cannot appeal to somebody's emotions, then your opinion does not matter.
Oh, exactly. And one of the biggest ones I get is experience. Like, well, you don't know if you've never experienced it. Well, experience yes. is just based off of emotion. You know, mm-hmm. it's not what actually happens. It's how you felt when it happened.
Absolutely. And experience does not make you an expert. It makes you biased.
Exactly. Extremely biased. You know, mm-hmm. That's why they say like a lot of relationships, when you're in a relationship, you don't notice what's going on in yes. your relationship, you mm-hmm. know, and it's the people that look outside that don't have any emotions evolved, yep. You know, they're the ones that see the problems and you don't.
Yes, absolutely. Perspective is key. And I do know that you can see two different sides to an answer, but that's why communication is so important. And when one side is being completely shut down, you can't communicate.
Oh, exactly.
And we're never going to get there.
Exactly. Anytime there's any bit of emotion involved, there is no room for open-mindedness, because absolutely. There's biases leaning one way or the other. And mm-hmm. that's the problem that we're having today with polarized politics everywhere.
Yes, you cannot find the solution to 2 + x + y = until you acknowledge X. You can't, if acknowledging X hurts your feelings, you can't leave it out of the equation to get the right answer. It's unfortunate, exactly. but it's not how it works. You have to take all variables into consideration. And people aren't willing to do that right now.
And it's almost like there's a training of teaching people how to avoid it.
Absolutely. You know? And that's with my kids and stuff. They're coming home and they're like, well, how would you feel if this happened? And while I do value that that's important, I also really want to push that it doesn't matter what you feel. It's do the right thing regardless, whether people are watching or not. Do the right thing. That's why integrity is just huge.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, have you ever, I'm sure everybody has, but have you ever been hit with the power of authority? Like, what degree do you have that tells you, you know, that gives you any reasoning to tell me how I should be, you know, or what gives you the proper power for this perspective? You know, what do you have the proper degree to have an opinion on this? You know, like, I hate those things.
Oh, yeah. Often I think a lot of times too, because, okay, this is another psychology thing. A lot of people find people who kind of, you know, they're well kept. They take care of themselves. They take care of their appearance. They find them more trustworthy. And so I like a chameleon. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, make sure that my makeup's done, my hair's done. I'm going to dress well. And then now it's, oh, you are an airhead. You do not have valid intellectual opinions because you put so much stock in your appearance. And I'm like, ah, I can't win.
Oh, man. No. Oh, that, yeah, it's terrible. That is a really good point, though. My ex-wife brought up a point to me one time when she was working. She's like, am I racist? I'm like, what makes you think that? And she's like, I seem to stereotype this race more than this. She used to be a manager at a dollar store. And they didn't have cameras in the store, so they actually had to pay attention to the people who are stealing. You know,
right.
Because
mm-hmm.
the more stuff that's stolen, the less that they get a raise at the six-month period or whatever their raise terms are. And,
gosh, for sure.
So most of the customers that would come into the store, I think it was like a third black, a third Asian, and a third white. Mm-hmm. And they would catch more black people stealing than anything, and they'd catch more white people than Asian people. You know, so she's
right.
like, you know, I'm stereotyping. I'm like, yeah, but how are you stereotyping? Are you stereotyping are you stereotyping them because they're black, or are you stereotyping them because of the way they're dressed? And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, if a black guy comes in, he's dressed really nice. You know, he's got a nice sweater on or nice jeans. I'm like, are you going to suspect him of stealing? She's like, well, no, not really. I'm like, well, then you're not stereotyping because he's black. It's because of the way his appearance is.
Absolutely.
You know? And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, I guess you're right. You know, and I kind of went through the whole run with her on the different, if this race was dressed like this. And she's like, oh, I think you're right. I'm not racist. I'm just stereotyping the type of people that typically
right.
steal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why profiling has actually been a very important part in, you know, criminology, things like that. It's unfortunate, but mm-hmm. people who do certain things typically behave in certain ways, which comes out in their appearance. You know, it comes out in the way they carry themselves, and it's not about their skin color or where they came from. But I think on the flip side too, if you put all of your stock, all of your identity into a physical feature, you're also going to attribute any of those hardships or failures or biases towards you to that.
Yep.
It might be like, I've walked into a mall and I've been followed around the mall, but it's because they had an influx in theft in women stealing some blingy jeans at the time. And I was like, wow, is it because I'm a woman? Is it because I'm carrying a big purse? Like, what exactly is going on here? But I didn't take it too much to heart. But I feel for minorities and things like that who are like, it's because of my skin color, because that's where they hold their identity right now. And I think the media has a big piece of that.
Oh, big time. They're when telling them that's what their identity is. Yeah.
When you ask like me to describe myself, it's going to take me 100 things before I get to my skin color.
Yeah.
And it hurts my heart to see other people who immediately think that their skin color or their sexuality is what defines them and their personality. It's not. It's just a part of them. There's so much more than that.
Yeah. And then when they hear the perspective of somebody who's not the same race as them, we're like, we don't care about that. They don't understand. They think you have to understand. You have to care because I care.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's the problem that they're having. And, you know, it's the two different perspectives not being able to see eye to eye. You know?
Absolutely.
And I get a lot of hate for that in my videos. I talk on black issues a lot, and they're like, who are you to be talking about my issues? And I'm like, I'm not really talking about black issues as much as I'm just talking about human issues.
Yes,
you know, I'm talking about emotions and things like that that we all relate to.
Absolutely. And it's almost like me trying to tell them how I feel and how I live in my truth. And self-love is also super important because if you love yourself, you're not lashing out at other people if they judge you. But I just, exactly. I feel for them. But at the same time, I'm like, this is how I live my life. I feel like it could help you. Maybe my perspectives on how I am not putting my entire identity into these things, it's helped me. I feel like my life is happy. I feel like I'm successful. Let my experiences maybe guide you as well. But they're hurting. I get it.
Yeah, it's funny because I've heard this analogy before. It's like when you go to the gym and you don't know what to do, find the biggest, best looking guy and ask him. You know,
right? Absolutely.
He's probably gonna have answers.
Absolutely.
You know, so if you see somebody who's successful, you know, I've heard that before too. If you want to be successful, talk to people who are successful. If you see somebody who has a lot of money, be like, how did you do this? Guide me, help me.
Yes.
You know, but it's the pride. And I talk about this in my TikTok way too much.
No, I love it though. I agree wholeheartedly.
And I seriously think pride's always the issue with everything, in my opinion. But I think in this issue, particularly, it's pride. You know, they're too prideful to take your opinion to help them, for one. And they hold too much pride in their race because they are taught to let that go, to be able to love themselves.
Absolutely. You know,
they believe that pride is the love, and it's completely opposite. You know,
it's actually hindering them from participating in society the way everybody else is, because it's like, oh, I'm not going to do that because you all are against me. And it's like, no, join us. We love you. It's not about that. We want to fix the problem. But if we ignore some of these factors, all we're going to get is racism is the answer. But if you put in all these other variables, you know, the communities, the fact that schools are funded by real estate, like the taxes in the area, we've got to fix that problem. And I feel like unless we look at every little piece of what's causing these problems, we're just going to continue to not reach the right answer.
Oh yeah, and that's another issue we have too, is there's so many reasons to one problem that people always think you have to focus on one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why can't we focus on all of them together and fix all of them?
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're complaining about this and I'm complaining about this, why can't we worry about them both?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does yours come before mine or whatever?
Yes, and another thing with me too is the band-aids. The band-aids on the problems. It's like, oh, you know, let's combat how we're supposed to pay for healthcare. Now wait, why don't we take it a step further and ask, why is healthcare so expensive in the first place?
Exactly.
We're not going far enough back. We're not taking the steps backwards that are necessary, because that's hard to do. It's easier to just slap a band-aid, and the band-aids are not fixes, and they end up, you know, causing
making
more.
It worse.
Yes, absolutely. Like minimum wage raging, like raging the
raising the minimum wage. Yeah.
See, that
totally makes it worse.
It makes things worse because we're not fixing the problem of inflation and property, you know, like, okay, I live in a small town and the real estate around here is so expensive, but it's because the people on the board, the mayors and everybody else like that, there are so many people on the board here who are real estate agents and they are actively suppressing housing developments around here so that they can keep the real estate high. Like, that's a problem. That would
definitely.
That's something that we could fix. It's not, hey, we need to pay people more to afford these properties. No, no, that's not the problem. We need to look a step back.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, healthcare, I always, well, first of all, with everything, I believe that the free market can always balance itself.
Me too. You know,
because people it have really so does. Much power that they don't, mm-hmm. they don't realize how much power they have that they could easily, hey, if I don't want this, I can't afford it. I'm not buying it. Well, then the person yes. who's selling this can be like, well, now I'm not selling it anymore. I need to lower my price.
Absolutely.
You know,
or and any, yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, no. Or, you know, the whole giving a company bad reviews who treats their employees like crap or whatever.
Oh, yeah. We have so much power.
But
we
there's just, a you know, balance there with cancel culture. Oh.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, we're just going to take them off the syrup. Well,
okay. Yes.
That fixed so many problems. Thank you.
Yes. Harriet Tubman on a $20 bill is totally better than the platinum plan. Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And these band-aids are only going to make things worse. And, you know, I used to be a leftist and I used to believe that the government could fix everything. And it hit a certain point where I'm like, wait a minute, this is like me giving my mom and dad money to spend it for me when I could be spending it myself. I should make the decisions for where I want my money to go, you know? Yes, and that's kind of when I started to become right wing and realizing that the more money we give the government, the more they mess it up. You know?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Anything the government touches just goes to crap.
Exactly. You know, if we all think the government is corrupt, then why are we giving them our money to fix problems?
Absolutely.
You know, that just makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think people are also taking into account the fact that would these same people willing to hand all this power over to Biden be willing to hand the same power over to Trump? Because there's a very real possibility that the parties, you know, the power is going to change hands and that person now has the power that you gave the presidency and the government.
Exactly. Yep.
It's all fun and games when it's your guy. Like, that's why I'm against it either way. You know, get the government
definitely.
Out of it. We'll 100%.
Out. You know, and they don't realize that these people, like, I was going to say this. They don't realize that Trump, what was it? They were trying to say that Trump's trying to take away, no, the people who are trying to argue, like, I want to take guns away. I just want to give the government the power. It's like, you trust Trump with all the guns? Like, you don't want any kind of defense towards him at all? You're the
yes!
one that's complaining about him, you know?
Exactly.
It's just the small bits of hypocrisy everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's that
but when
office
Biden's
is
there,
still there.
It's okay.
Yeah. The power stays with that office. It doesn't stay with the person who leaves. And
yep.
that's the problem is they're not thinking about that. It's like, oh, let's just give this office the power. And then when that person, my guy leaves, that power goes with him. No. Sorry, friend. Not how it works.
That's why, like, especially with retirement, you know, Social Security, it would be much wiser for people just to take their own money that's coming out of their checks anyways and put it into their own private situation, their own private
yes.
organization or whatever. Because mm-hmm. if it keeps switching hands through the government, then one person could be like, nah, we're just going to end this. And all that money
yeah.
that you spent could just be gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in an instant.
Absolutely.
And people don't realize that they have the power and they have the control to take their own money and invest it where they want.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they feel like it's proper to give it to somebody else to just take care of it for them and then get mad at them when they mess it up?
Absolutely. And I think that's a big difference too, between the people who have more of a group think like, oh, just take it, deal with it. I'm good with that. I want the safety net of somebody taking care of me as well. Whereas, you know, the other side is, no, I will take what life throws at me, but I also want to keep more of my money to keep a safety net, something there on my own that I can trust.
Yeah. I know I personally don't have any health care whatsoever because I choose not to. I don't like the idea of spending hundreds of dollars every month and then having
yes.
to pay like a ridiculous
mm-hmm.
you know not retainer. What's the term I'm thinking of?
There's the premiums. There's the deductibles.
Deductible. Thank you. Yes. You don't have to pay this ridiculous deductible on top of it before you even get any portion of coverage. And it's just like, so I have to pay basically $12,000 before I get any coverage at all. Like, this is, makes no sense to me. I'd rather just pocket it. And then if anything small happens, I pay $200 or $300 out of pocket or whatever. You know?
Definitely. Yes. I actually used to work in, I was a CPHT at a local pharmacy. And so I saw a lot of that. I saw the insurance, you know, Medicare. Don't even get me started. the way they treat their people is just devastating, because a lot of these people have paid into Medicare and they pay for Medicare plans that are, you know, then they have their supplementals and things like that. But then they hit these donut holes and then they have to pay full price for some of their medications. And there were people who had to save up all year anyway, just to pay their these donut holes. Costs. And it's like, we're taking care of our elderly like that, but then, you know, everybody else that would come in, if they were just, you know, and this is not me knocking people who are on Medicaid or anything like that, but they could walk in, not pay for Medicaid or any of those things, and then they got their prescriptions for free or a dollar regardless. Yep. We're not balancing the system properly.
No, we are. I have some friends and family members who are nurses, and I hear some horror stories of people who come in who are just dressed in really nice clothes. They have expensive Starbucks drinks in their hands, and they're asked to pay like a $2 deductible when they don't have to pay for their health insurance, and they whine that they've paid a $2 deductible.
Yes, their copay, I've been yelled at so much for that in my lifetime. I was like, I can't do this anymore. It ruins your faith in humanity.
Yeah. And that's the same thing they say too. They're like, it's just the things that we see. And then they see doctors trying to push prescriptions, and, you know, because the pharmacy companies are, you know, funding the hospitals and such.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know, you just look at these things, the hospitals are kind of running unchecked. They don't have competition, so they can charge whatever they want. And that's so dangerous, because they don't seem to, you know, they have no way of being checked for that.
Yeah, and they're getting these big, fat, you know, unsigned checks or whatever, big signed checks you know, no balance, just like, what? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Blank check.
Yeah, it's insane to me. And, you know, you got these... my son's coming up to the window. What's up, buddy? Oh. Sorry, I've got kids.
It's okay.
Okay, give me a couple more minutes, okay? I'm talking on an interview. I need you to go play for a minute.
Can I go outside?
Out back, sure. Aww. I love you. Yep, they sure can. So sorry.
That is wholesome and adorable. I'm just going to say
He's my baby. I've got three kids and they're just, actually in my car right now, because they run through the house and scream. So maybe I'll go sit in the car so it's a little more quiet for you.
I totally get it. You have no need to apologize. I have five little monsters are the same way. Yeah. So kids are my everything.
They are. They really do.
You know, and that's one of the issues, is all these issues that are going on today. Speaking of kids, I mean, we have to worry about what our kids are going to have to deal with when they're older.
Oh, goodness.
The amount of debt that they're going to be in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the things that they are learning in schools that are not preparing them for a future that's realistic.
Yep.
And
I made a video because my girlfriend is a preschool teacher, and she just had to teach like race theory to preschoolers.
Oh, goodness.
She had to teach about racism and white supremacy, and it's just like, are you kidding me? To preschoolers.
Oh,
and
goodness.
She mentioned, she's like, why are we not learning more about like the spectrum of autism? You know, things that are actually important for young development of kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a balance between sitting in the classroom and needing to be active. There are so many studies that show that kids who actually have more recesses and less time inside the classroom actually retain more information, but we're not learning these things or doing any of this. We're getting rid of math and changing that whole thing. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I didn't know that about the recess. That's actually pretty intriguing.
Yeah, it was a study that I was reading. I love studies. I'm sorry, you probably hear me say that a million times. I love reading those and the psychology behind them. And it's like, why aren't we paying attention to these things? We're too busy trying to get us to fight with each other.
I could see that though. Especially like I have ADHD. I have a very difficult time focusing on things for long periods of time. Like I have a very difficult time reading, which is why I have not been through your comic.
Oh, totally.
Even
fine.
Though it's a very easy thing to read. I love Star Wars, and I have probably 100 Star Wars
That's
books,
so
and I will
awesome.
Read 2 pages and I will lose my focus and I'll start daydreaming, and then I'll stop myself and have to go back and be like, where did I remember I left off at, you know? And right. I do that all the time. So, you know, there's a lot of times where I just go off and I get my steam off, get my brain functioning in a different way, and then I can focus again. And I could kind of see how that would work for kids.
Right. Absolutely. That's awesome. I think that ADD and ADHD is like a superpower we just haven't uncovered yet.
Somebody brought up the point that like ADHD is actually for like highly intelligent people.
Yes.
And of course I was like, oh yeah, this makes me feel smart. But you know, it's because he said that your brain is going so fast paced that it's hard for you to keep up. And it's because it's constantly trying to search for things. It's constantly trying to learn. And,
yeah.
And I like the way he was thinking, you know, I'm going to bring him on my podcast eventually.
I love that.
Yeah. So I want to hear his perspective on that, but I thought that was pretty cool the way he said that.
Right. There's so many. Oh, what is the other one? There's autism, and then there's the, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's like Asperger's.
Yeah, Asperger's.
I feel like those people are so intelligent. It's wild to me. You hear them speak and I'm like, wow, this is so crazy to see their perspective on the world because it's so insightful.
Well, I know I'm not a professional on this topic, but I think Asperger's a lot of them have a difficulty. It's either reading or expressing emotions.
Yeah.
Or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So if you think about it in that way, people who are less emotional on topics are typically more rational.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I could see how that could correlate.
Yes. And I appreciate the rational part of it. That's so appreciated when you can discuss things with people and they can bring things to the table and you guys can reach a conclusion or an impasse, but at least it's cordial and it's rational and it's educated, and I just love it.
Yeah, and I swear to God, every topic, there's any topic whatsoever between feminism, Black Lives Matter, everything is so loaded with emotion that it's very difficult to have any kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And surprisingly, I have had quite a few people who have actually messaged me who said, I lean this way and I believe this way, but the way you say your perspective is making me change my mind. And it's
those
kind of messages like really light me up, like, oh my God, like what I'm saying actually is making sense. Like, thank you so much, you know, and I'm very appreciative.
Yes, I love that. You articulate things in a way that's very digestible. It's very clean. It's very clear. And I just, I appreciate it.
I try my best in that short period of time that I'm given. I hate the 1 minute term limit. It sucks.
Oh, for sure.
So I do plan on doing YouTube soon, and I'm hoping to make longer videos explaining things. But somebody asked me off of Instagram, they messaged me and they're like, hey, would you ever be willing to do things in writing? And I'm like, oh boy.
Oh, nice.
I could try. Maybe I need somebody who's like a professional writer.
I can help.
Kind of get
that.
My words out there.
I cannot articulate my opinions at all, but give me a pen and I can go on forever. I can never remember words when I'm speaking, and I'm just like, oh no.
I actually was wondering, going back to your comic, what are your future plans for that? I mean, I'm assuming that's not your only job. I'm assuming that's just more for fun.
It is. It's kind of a side gig.
Okay.
Right now I am a special projects assistant for a government contracting company.
Okay.
And I do some HR and things like that. We employ people in various government agencies and things like that. So I can kind of see some of the inner workings of some of these agencies. It's interesting.
Do you really want to, like I'm in construction. I love doing construction, but I've always wanted to get into this political game, you know?
Oh, me too.
Not necessarily
Absolutely.
This is a hobby to me. I actually had a larger page on TikTok that was more of my family based thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm losing my fire in this. I would really like to make a political page. So I started it, and it's only been a few months, and I'm loving it so much. And I'm so invested that I'm like, I could see this being my career someday.
That's
I would
amazing.
Love to do this.
Absolutely.
Do you have the same thing with your hobbies, with your comics and your writing?
Absolutely. I'm very passionate about politics. I've always kind of been in a, you know, the friends and the family and stuff, they're not as into it as I am. And so I feel kind of snuffed out a little bit. And so I kind of keep a lot of this to myself, but I definitely.
Really? So you and your family don't see eye to eye on a lot of
we
things?
We do. They just don't like to discuss it. My dad, though, okay. My dad is super awesome. Me and him can go on forever. He's very, very educated. I just love hearing what he has to say. But
I was going to say, I know you mentioned something like you think your dad might.
I think he does. I know I've sent
That's
him,
awesome.
I sent him your videos, so I'm sure by now he does.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something. Like, my comic is kind of a side thing too, just for the storytelling aspect, because got to have that balance. But
yeah, do you have any other stories that you'd want to write? Like anything, or are you just kind of just focusing on one?
You know, I have a million in the queue. This one was actually just more geared to a target audience on the platform. I felt like this story would do well there. And so that's why this is the one that I picked to go first. But there's, I'm more into the fantasy, the Greek mythology, the magic, the epicness, Lord of the Rings. I love it.
I'm writing a love fiction novel, and I actually was doing fairly good on it, but it got lost on my ex-wife's computer, so I have to start it over, and I've just been too lazy because it's a lot of work. But I was actually going to add, biblical senses in with like a love story, and it's just going to be craziness, but it's going to be very unique.
Cool.
And so, and I'm a huge fan of Greek mythology as well. I used to study that so much.
Oh, fun! I love it too. It's definitely my love language.
I'm trying to remember. Like I said, you're about the same age as me, so you might remember what it's called. But it was before the internet. It was called like browser something or brown browser. And back when I was in elementary school, we used to have this like, it was like an encyclopedia type of thing the computer. We used to play that or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. It's one of the two. So those are our two choices. And I used to just download Greek mythology and like every story that I could find on there. And I would just print books, and I think I still have them. And I used to try to write my own little, like draw my own little like Medusa on the cover of it, and it looked like crap, but it was still, so I love that stuff. That when I was in elementary school, is that or the Titanic? Those are the two things.
Oh, that was good stuff. Yep. We definitely grew up in the same era for sure.
Yeah. Like, I feel like my dream job would be like an archaeologist, somebody who just goes into sites and just digs and finds artifacts.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, like that's all of my, like when I'm on TV, I'm watching Discovery Channel, that's all I ever watch is things where they're finding artifacts, or like either historical biblical places or, Knights Templar or whatever. I love that stuff.
Probably one of the only kids not sleeping during those days in history class where we got to watch those.
We didn't get that when I was in school. I am so jealous.
We used to get to watch, the Discovery Channel, little Into the Pyramids. Oh, I loved it. So great.
I'm jealous. We never got that. I didn't get to start watching that until I was a little bit older.
Oh, darn it. I think our teachers.
Yeah. I hated history
Me
class,
too.
Actually. Ugh. Like, I used to be so bored in it. And then after I graduate high school, then I'm like, God, I love history. Why didn't I pay more attention?
For sure. No, same here. I was just not a fan. I loved math because I like that there's only one correct answer, regardless of how you get to it.
Yeah, math was my favorite subject as well. I was very good at math, which I take into my job now. So math was my favorite. I love gym class.
Me too. I loved it. There's no ambiguity there. It's just.
Yeah, it was just brute strength, and that was fun.
Definitely.
It did suck, though, because my gym teachers were also my football coaches, and they expected me to always perform the best,
no!
And I hated it because I couldn't goof off.
My gym teachers didn't know me. I used to hide in the art rooms during pep rallies. I was such a geek. Oh, you could. I just, yeah. I was that kid who was eating lunch in the hallway by myself.
I always sat alone.
I enjoyed it, people, though. I was probably weird.
Yeah.
I loved it. I actually actively went. I'm such an introvert. I sought out corners where I could be alone.
I'm the exact same way. I don't know what it is. Like, I just used
people
to say
are draining.
I hate people. Like, I don't like people.
I mean, even if you
they
love
are.
It,
yes, they're very
you're
toxic.
Having a good time, even if it's people you love, it's like, ooh. sucks the life out and you have to regenerate and then you can come back in the game stronger and it's fine.
It just sucks because I seem to draw people in. Mm-hmm. I want them to stay away, but I draw them in. It's like, well, no.
Have you ever heard of Myers-Briggs, that typology?
No.
I'm going to have to send you this link. It is based on Carl Jung. He made those archetypes in psychology. There's 16 archetypes. And I think it was a descendant of his, somebody at some point, they had created this typology test. And it actually tells you what archetype that you are. And I bet we're very similar personality types. It's very intriguing. And then it tells you intriguing. What characters you would be in movies based on what they had created that, what archetype they created that character on. It's actually really insightful. And I adore it. So
so what character would you be?
In Star Wars, I'm always Yoda. So I don't get to be like, you know, a cool person.
That's awesome. If we're similar, that means
yes,
I would be Yoda.
we are. We have to be careful because we're also the white-haired girl in Game of Thrones. I have not followed that story, but...
I've never seen Game of
we
Thrones.
We kill everybody in the end, apparently.
The people who are listening to this are going to be like, what? But I don't like movies or anything that have like a lot of nudity in it. I don't know what it ruins it for me. So I specifically have not watched that because of all of the nudity that I've
right?
heard about.
Yeah, I've just never been lazy.
Yeah, I keep hearing about it and it's like, it's so good. I'm like, it sounds good. I'm just, you know, I hear about all the sex scenes. Like, it just doesn't sound like I don't know. Like, don't laugh at me. I love like Korean dramas and like the kiddie stuff that's very like high school sweetheart love.
Those
like,
are
very
great
innocent,
and they're not, you know, emotionally like, taxing.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, you know, like the eighth episode, they're finally holding hands
yes!
and getting giddy. You know, I mean, that's the kind of crap
absolutely.
I'm into.
Absolutely, I love that as well. I get way too invested. I cannot start TV shows unless they are done filming them. So I didn't start Game of Thrones because they just got done. I get too invested and I have to see the outcome. Yes.
Binge it?
I can't. And it's
yeah.
Just,
yep. it's difficult with the Korean ones because they're usually like an hour,
oh, goodness.
Hour and a half long. It's almost like a movie length per gosh. Episode. And then there's like 30 episodes. So it'll
ooh.
Take a weekend. I mean, you'll just.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty taxing on time. But
don't
it's
come
worth
out
it.
Again until I've gotten some resolution.
I used to go to like the local Korean restaurant and buy like their appetizers. So I just sit there like eating like fish cakes and kimchi and stuff while watching my Korean show.
That
feel
is so
cool,
fun.
So.
I love anime. Anime is kind of a.
Oh, yes.
I mean, old school
I love anime.
Stuff.
My favorite is Sword Art Online, is my current favorite. My original favorite is Initial D. It's a
oh, that's amazing. Cool.
Yeah. I love
Inuyasha
anime as well.
Was my cup of tea.
I have not seen that. No, I haven't.
Adding that to the list.
The gasp. It's like I just committed a sin.
Blasphemy. Yes, that one's a great one. I'll have to look into the ones you mentioned as well.
What is that?
It is about this little, you know, little teenager that falls into a well and it takes her back to feudal Japan and she has to, you know, save the world with this half demon guy. It's interesting and it's a cute little love story, you know. It's precious.
It's probably something
I'd
be
really
interested
good.
In.
I like it.
I'm watching Demon Slayer right now.
I've seen that, but
I mean,
it looks fantastic.
It's really good, yeah. I wasn't a big fan of Attack on Titan. It was okay. I know it's got a lot of love. I also cosplay.
Oh,
and
cool.
I know the My Hero Academia All Might. I've been wanting to do All Might for a while. I bought the wig.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
Yeah, I have the beard now, though. I didn't have the beard at the time when I wanted to do it, but I don't want to shave. So I'm like, oof, do I really want to cosplay as this anymore?
That's okay. Get in there. Just, you know, it's going to be an older version of that character. More mature. Different spin.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of characters that have beards that I can do now. Like, I want to do Shao Kahn. I have half of the Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
I'm just like, I'm going to do Shao Kahn with a beard. Like, screw it.
How do you get into that? How do you get into cosplaying? Like, what's the... Do you go to any Comic Cons or anything like that?
YouTube.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I've gone to Chicago Comic Con. There's a couple in my state that I've gone to, and they are so much fun. I've gone without dressing up before, and it was fun. And then I was like, one year, somebody just talked me into it. Like, dress up, just dress up. I was like, oh, I guess. So I went as Johnny Cage from Mortal Kombat. It was
cool.
A terrible cosplay. I could have done so much better, but It was so much fun. Little kids will run up to you and be like, oh my God, you're Johnny Cage. You're my favorite character from Mortal Kombat. Can I get my picture with you? And it just, it makes you feel like a celebrity, like almost, you know, it's so cool. And God, I probably had my picture taken like 70 times with people. They just run up and can I get my picture taken with you? And you just, it is, it's such a cool experience for anybody who's never cosplayed before. It is definitely something you should at least try once.
Definitely. I'm going to have to do that. At Comic-Con, I've never been, but I want to go to one so bad.
Yeah, especially if you're a nerd and you love anime.
Yes!
Oh, it's the best thing.
Done.
It is awesome. I'm trying to think, have you seen Full Metal Alchemist?
Yes, I loved that one until a very sad
love that one as well.
Just, for some reason, could not digest. And I stopped watching it after that for a long time.
Was it the Chimera episode?
Yeah, with the little girl.
Yep.
And I just, oh, nope.
Yep.
That one killed my soul.
That was that one was bad.
That one should be banned. So it does not scar the masses any more than it already has.
It was such a good show, though.
It was amazing. It was a great one. I never got any closure on that.
What a Have you ever watched any of the Studio Ghibli?
I believe
no?
That's the one is it Howl's Moving Castle? Is that what that guy's name is?
I believe that's one. They have Ponyo, Kiki's Delivery Service.
Same. Okay, my little sister watches those. I'll have to snag them from her.
I watch them when I go to sleep. They will put you to sleep. They're so calm.
I love that.
The stories are amazing, though. Yeah, I absolutely love them.
Palette Cleanser's Coraline. I don't know what it is about that movie that I love so much.
My daughter loves Coraline. She watches it all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to think. My kids go nuts on Hotel Transylvania, Coraline. Yep. My daughter, she just loves horror movies in general. So she just loves like any of like the kind of the creepy, like cartoony ones.
Yes,
like
that's my 11-year-old right now. She's really into the horror. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
She's trying to watch like Jason and stuff, though. And I'm like, no, girlfriend. It's not happening.
I'm not much of a horror fan, but my favorite horror movie of all time is Rose Red.
That was a good one.
I love
Rose
Red.
For sure. I live in Colorado, so I really liked Stephen King's The Shining.
Oh, The Shining was good. Did you see the new one?
There's a new one?
Yeah, it's it takes place like later in the future, and it was just in theaters. Is it called Red Drum?
I kind of looked that up. Oh, yeah. I actually think I've heard of it. Oh my goodness. Now I know what I'm doing tonight.
It wasn't bad. Yeah, I saw it in the theaters, and they just kind of it's totally different than The Shining, but I think they go back to that same hotel and everything.
Oh, very
cool. I'm trying to think what other movies me and you are 90s kids, so everything awesome is from the 90s.
No bias. It's just true.
Music and movies. Yeah. Brendan Fraser made the 90s awesome.
Nobody remembers him. I'm like, oh my heart.
You know, I heard stories. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that he was a conservative, and I heard that Hollywood just didn't like it. And that's one story. And then I heard another story where he got a divorce. And
she wiped him out. And then there was another one where he was falling and he didn't want to do movies anymore because he couldn't get any gigs. Like, this poor man just has so many rumors circulating his absence.
I know. Poor guy. I loved him. He was
wonderful.
My favorite.
He was definitely.
Yeah. And he had so many good movies. Pauly Shore was, he went nuts, but I mean, he had some
he
good
really
movies.
He really did.
Too.
Pauly Shore was my jam. And Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
of the 90s. He was the big one.
I can't remember too many movies with him in it other than Scooby Doo.
Right. Oh, gosh. Before that, he was in She's All That.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Favorites.
That was a good one.
He was in all of the I Know What You Did Last Summer movies. Oh, I loved those.
Okay. I don't quite remember those as much as I do, like Fear and...
Fear was good. I loved that one as well. Scream. Scream was around
Scream,
those times.
Yep.
Yeah,
the 90s was the best.
Heck yes.
I just totally missed it.
Almost slipped.
Were you like a Backstreet Boy NSYNC fan too?
I did have some of their songs, but I was more of a Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera person during that era.
Okay, yeah, Christina. I liked Christina Aguilera.
I did too. I felt like she was so talented. Yeah.
Genie in a Bottle. Yes. I still love this song.
Good times. Good times. Damn.
I was a Backstreet Boy NSYNC fan. Now that you just said hell no. So I'm like, great.
They were great. But I could not name them to save my life. I did like their music.
I can't do that, at least. I'm not that big of a
fan. And they say that they came up with the name NSYNC because it was like the last letter in all their first names. That does not make any sense. If you actually look at their last names, I don't know where they're getting that. I tried. I could not figure it out.
I never heard that before.
And I cannot figure out who would be what. And I'm like, did they have like, or one of them named Clarence? Like, where's the discrepancy? There's somebody missing.
Yeah, I've never heard mm-hmm. that before. So I couldn't put two and two together on that. And I don't know their names, so I can't even figure out what their names
would be. Yeah, I saved you from going down that rabbit hole. I'll just let you know.
Yeah, this is probably not something I'm going to look into either. So. Yeah, my favorite band, though, of all time, especially from the 90s, was Offspring.
Oh, yeah. Offspring was my favorite. Well. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Oh, God. Yeah, memory lane. I was a gamer in the 90s, so I
was
so
too.
Many most of my memories
were video games. Yeah, old school ones, though. I never really got into the cool things. I was all about Zelda. Zelda was my jam.
I am currently wearing a Zelda shirt as we speak, actually.
My older sister, I have five brothers and sisters. My older sister has this giant Zelda tattoo across her back. It's so cool. Oh, yeah.
Really?
We weren't allowed to leave the house, so we found ways to entertain ourselves.
It's pretty sad because I was able to leave my house, but I didn't. Because it's like video games kind of... It took over my life. It was like my alternate reality because my life as a child sucked. So all I did was play video games, and it was
right.
Like my happy time,
and they're just, you know? Especially the immersive ones were so great. I was a big reader as well. Video games and reading was just kind of, you know, an escape from reality. Everybody needs one.
Yeah, some people get too addicted.
Absolutely, and, you know. Moderation is key.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually pretty much why I got a divorce. My ex-wife got addicted to video games. Yeah, the ironic thing is I'm the one that got her into video games because she wasn't into video games, and she got me into TikTok because I wasn't into TikTok. Then I almost got addicted to TikTok.
Oh,
she
no.
got addicted to video games, and we got a divorce.
I don't think I'm addicted to TikTok because I just made one maybe a couple months ago. I avoided it like the plague. I was not going to get one. And yeah, I will open it up, and then 3 days later, I'm... Like, what year is it? Look up, the whole day's gone. Yeah.
Oh, especially when you're scrolling and looking at everybody else's videos.
Man.
Yeah. It's terrible. You cannot have your phone in bed with you when you go to sleep because that's all you'll do.
Yep.
Yeah. I purposely keep my phone away from you. Actually, because I was banned on TikTok on my main phone, I can't go on there on my main phone. So my little tiny iPhone 5 that I do my TikToks on, I keep it on my desk way away from my bed so that way I can't bring it with me. And
it
helps me
sleep. That's a good plan. Speaking of you getting banned, I had a question for you as well. Like, what's your opinion on this whole cancel culture stuff? Because a lot of people are kind of, you know, attributing it to, they're calling it accountability culture, but you can't really have an accountability culture if the people dishing out the accountability can't be held accountable.
Exactly. And it's all opinionated anyways. Mm-hmm. You know, just because people don't like what I hear is enough to ban me. I mean, what am I saying that's wrong? And that's the whole issue we're having. Hate speech in general is
absolutely
subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I hate. That's hate speech. Well, define hate speech. It's what I don't like. Exactly.
You know? I think self-love would fix all of that. If we were actually teaching kids to stop trying to empathize with everyone else and just start to focus on being a better person and to take care of yourself and your own needs, people who love themselves don't lash out. Like, people are like, oh, he's a narcissist, he loves himself. Those people don't love themselves. They hate themselves and they're trying to compensate.
Yep. Yeah, they have a superiority complex. You know, they feel inferior, so they act superior to compensate for it.
You get it. I love it.
What's funny is I'm not even into psychology. I just kind of, you know, I learn as I go, but a lot of this stuff is it could be almost be basic knowledge, you know, in the way you learn it. And the stuff's been more intriguing as I go, so I'm learning as I go. But I've never gone to college for this stuff, and I get called on that all the time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I do too.
But
I'm like, I could have an art degree, and they'd maybe be like, I'm like, I have a degree, here it is. I really don't. I don't have an art degree. I actually actively avoided college. I felt like it was, I think we're moving, society is shifting back into a trade school necessity. Yes. Because college was when, you know, all the blue collars were like, well, now you can go get an education because I've made enough money for you to, you know, go off to school. But yeah. I feel like it was almost kind of an elitist thing too. Like, you're in college, and it became an elitist thing, but then it became affordable to everybody, and now, or, you know, not. the debt's unreal.
Yep.
Now everybody's doing it, and it's becoming so unnecessary and obsolete.
I'm very blessed that I got into construction when I did, and that I didn't want to go into college. I didn't know what I wanted to do out of school. I had no clue. I was so unprepared for life.
Me too.
I actually, a week after I graduated high school, I got into really bad trouble. And that's basically where I started to grow up.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. That's where I started realizing that life is serious, and you have to be smart. And I was not smart. I was just kind of winging it.
Yeah.
You know, just saying whatever happens, happens. For sure. And, you know, and that was my biggest mistake. But I got very blessed because the trade that I'm in is kind of a rare trade, and not too many people are in it. And I had to learn skills to be really good into what I was doing, to be almost better than other people that are in the same trade, because when I got in trouble, you know, it made it very difficult for me to get a job.
Oh, for sure.
And so I had to make it so people needed me or wanted me to work there. You know, I had to make myself valuable.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And a lot of people nowadays, they don't care about being valuable. They just feel entitled to, you give them what they need, and you know, give me a livable wage. How about you earn that livable wage?
Yes, there's a disconnect. I think it's extreme disconnect in what they think. Like, that's another thing too. Like, I work from home, and back before COVID, when working from home wasn't something that was normal, people were constantly like, yeah, work from home. What did you do to get to do that? And they're like, get me a job working from home. And I'm like, as much as I, you know, I'm like, oh goodness, I don't think people understand the sacrifices and the effort that go into these things that you earn. And it's like, just because I made it look like I wasn't having a hard time doesn't mean I didn't put in a lot of tears, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to get where I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think there's just a disconnect, you know, in what, you know, what it actually takes.
Oh, and it's in taking chances, mm-hmm. as well. You know, the people who don't take chances aren't going to show that they're valuable.
Yes.
You know, I would stay longer, and I'd work on projects that I didn't know what I was doing to learn to do something, mm-hmm. new, you know, and to get good at what I was doing. And a lot of people aren't willing to spend the extra time. You know, the clock strikes 4 and oh, I'm done for the day.
Exactly.
See you guys later. You know, you have to be willing to stay.
That's
later.
That's actually how I wound up in the pharmacies, because I started as a front desk clerk, you know, like a front desk person at a Walgreens. And they were only hiring, you know, somebody at the front desk for part-time. But within a year, I had already moved up 3 departments and was working full-time. And then they paid for my schooling to get my CPHD certifications. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I just kept pushing and working my booty off. And they actually pushed me through that. And they were more willing to hire and, you know, build somebody up within the company than just hire somebody who had that degree already. Because it's about the experience and the hard work that they were, you know, they witnessed.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
So you get it. You did it.
You know, and yeah. You know, another thing that just recently has come across my attention. So I was married this last year. I got divorced. And I was married for like 13 years. And I'm so used to filing my taxes together. Well, this past year, my ex-wife, since I always did the taxes, she asked me if I would be able to help her do her taxes. So we have 5 kids, but one of them is mine from before we were together, and one of them is hers before we were together. So she claims her son and our youngest son that we have together, and I claim our 2 middle children. And then my oldest daughter, I didn't get to claim this year. Her other mom got to claim her. So we each claim 2 kids, and I work full-time. I actually worked overtime, and she worked part-time all year. So I obviously put in way more time, way more effort, paid way more taxes, And she, I think I ended up paying in like $1,000 or $2,000 from what I actually paid in for taxes. Like I actually lost around $2,000. She gained like $6,500 from what she paid in.
That's wild.
And it's like she worked part time. We claim the same amount of kids and she's getting a bonus.
Absolutely.
You know, like the way our tax system is set up drives me nuts. I have friends who are married and only one of them's working part time. The other one chooses to stay home when they don't have to. And they're getting like $14,000 back in taxes.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, it's wild. Yeah. It's almost incentivizing people to not work as hard. It's incentivizing single motherhood as well, because, you know, before I got married, I had a child from a previous relationship as well. It was actually what made me grow up. So I'm 22, you know, with a child. Then I met my now husband, and I would claim we weren't married when we had our first kid together either. We pushed it off. And I just claimed both of our kids, and he didn't claim either one. And we wound up with, you know, $6,000 back. And it's like, oh my goodness gracious. As soon as we got married, that quit. Half the time we owe. I don't even know.
Yep. Like, yeah. What the heck? That's the problem. You get punished for getting married too.
Yeah, it's incentivizing destroying the family unit, but the family unit is proven to help with crime and children less likely to grow up and be criminals because they have that stability. And I'm not even saying with gay marriage, because I think that as long as there are two parents there, I absolutely love it. As long as it is at a two-parent household, two people who love them and two people who can share the burden, those children are going to grow up great. But you're incentivizing being single in this society now. And it's it's exhausting.
It's almost like a long plan was put in place. They're like, if we make it so they're dependent on us, the government, you know, and then their children will be as well. And they'll learn and this will be a culture. And it's definitely showing. Because, I mean... I'm seeing people that are loving having the system, being single, having multiple kids, and they don't want to get married. It doesn't, you know, their births are getting paid for. They don't have to worry about any of the medical bills.
You know, live their life day to day. And there's a contentment there that it's not a contentment that I'm comfortable with. I'm like, no, I like to climb the mountain, but.
What bothers me the most is when they feel entitled to it. You know, they're not thankful for it. You know, they don't think, I'm so blessed that everybody's willing to help me. They're thinking, are you kidding me? That's all I get.
Absolutely.
You know, I hear that all the time, and that drives me nuts. It's kind of like, you're lucky you get that.
Incapable of seeing what it was like on the other side. And it's like, oh goodness, I've kind of done both. I've done the being a single mother with a toddler and trying to find ways to work and find babysitting and trying to pay for daycare. And it was exhausting and it was hard, but if you keep pushing through, this side is so much better. I was never on assistance. I did save my money and pay for, I never bought insurance. I was the same as you. I don't pay for insurance. I'd rather just pay out of pocket and just put money away for that monthly.
Yeah.
But
you get a discount.
Yeah, absolutely.
Typically.
Which again brings back that people are charging more than is necessary because they're even capable of giving you discounts when you pay cash.
And like you were saying before, if we go back and we find out why these problems are happening, I always tell people, well, the reason why these prices started skyrocketing is because of private insurance. Mm-hmm. Once private insurance happened and people started pooling money together, well, then, you know, the way that greed works with capitalism is they're like, ooh, I can get more money for this. And then the government stepped in and made it even worse, you know? So it's basically insurance, the socialized payment form just ruined our medical system. Because if you were to take all of that away right now, hospitals would go out of business because nobody could afford the prices that they're charging. So basically they would have to lower their prices so people could afford it out of pocket. They'd be forced to, otherwise they'd go out of business.
And they continue to run unchecked. And, they can continue to charge whatever they want because you have to go to a hospital. You know, if you're passed out on the road, you can't tell them not to take you to that hospital and be charged whatever they're going to charge you.
Oh, I've heard so many horror stories of people who got an ambulance ride that was like three blocks from their house, and it was like $6,000.
That happened with my daughter, and it was literally two blocks, and it was a $3,500 bill. Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Nuts.
I heard one person had to get a helicopter ride. They said that was like $35,000.
That's so insane.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And I feel like the problem is only going to get worse once we have, if they try to push for this universal health care because they're not taking into account the fact that these hospitals are still running unchecked with what they charge and insurance companies being in the way. And also, you know, inflating those prices, trying to get a little piece of that pie. They don't make money.
Oh, exactly.
Insurance cut, yeah. Yeah,
you know, absolutely. It's pretty messed up. When you go in there and you don't have insurance and you're like, oh, they're like, oh, it costs this much. And you're like, I don't have insurance. Uh-huh. Like, oh, here's your discount. It's like, wait a minute.
That's not how this works.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, so what you're telling me is that you're overcharging me? You know, it's pretty obvious. Yeah, no, the whole system just, I keep hearing this argument on my TikToks a lot. Oh, we should be balanced. We should have capitalism and socialism. It's like, those don't mix well. You know, capitalism is full of greed. Socialism is full of large amounts of money. Greed and large amounts of money don't equate. They don't make good for the people who don't have these social programs. And it almost forces people to have to do the social program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you either have a situation where monopolies are able to form and buy out these companies and these patents and then continue to rule the world. And then the opposite side is the government trying to take everything from you and divvy out what they think you deserve.
And then the government is one giant monopoly. Exactly. That's what people don't realize.
And that's another thing too that I never understood is here right now in the United States, if you wanted to build a little socialistic community with you and your friends and family, I mean, even start your own little town, you know, the Mormons do it. And they create this little life for themselves and they collectively want to take care of one another. You can do that right now within the United States, but they want to force our participation and make the whole country that way. And that's,
it's extremely ironic that you're bringing that up because not even a half an hour before we started this podcast, I made a video about that saying the exact same thing you just said. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The video was somebody was saying that, you know, I want to be for capitalism, but I don't, you know, with all of this communism being pushed on me, I'm starting to wither in my feelings for it. And I made a video saying the reason why I'm about capitalism is because capitalism gives the freedoms to actually create your own communism if you want. Whereas communism, you can't. You're stuck.
Yes.
You're forced to do what you want. So one gives you freedom, one doesn't, but you can do both in one. You can't.
Absolutely.
The other, you know?
It's so
just
true.
Common sense.
It's so true. But it takes a lot of effort and work
to build
a socialist society. So, no, would rather just have somebody else enforce it. No.
And that's just it. The communists, they're the ones that are at the bottom that don't want to work for anything. That's the reason why they're trying to enforce it. You know, because they could go start their own, but they don't have
And I don't think they understand, too, that once the government has all of this power, it's going to be like Survivor. You really think that they're going to tolerate giving you an equal portion at the table when you didn't collect nearly as much firewood that week as this guy over here who's building the shelter? Like, they're going to get to decide your worth at that point, not you and the people around you. You can't go out and make shell necklaces and make something of yourself on this island. No, they're going to decide whether or not you get to live among them and survive, whether or not you get a piece of the pie.
Exactly. You know, all the people that are arguing for socialism that are saying like, oh, the workers own the means of production. It's like, that doesn't mean you own the business. That means you're basically a glorified manager of the business that
the
government owns. You know, they don't realize that. Yeah, they think, oh, well, I could own my own business, you know? And it's just like, no, that's not how it works. And so it is very unfortunate that that's what the education system is pushing onto our kids. This laziness and this entitlement, it drives me nuts. We have to do our best to... Yes, your feelings, I understand feelings should be validated, but they shouldn't be why we make the decision.
Yes, the feelings are not decision-making tools. They are, you know, they're a cry for help. Feelings are a cry for help, and then you need somebody rational on the outside to help assist and guide and fix the problem. But right now, we're not fixing the problem because being a victim is chic. It's hip.
It is. It's culture right now. It is a culture. And it's unfortunate because it is dividing people.
Absolutely.
It's going backwards.
We're definitely on a backwards slide. And it's scary to see my kids grow up in an era. It's almost like we're so far removed from real hardship that this generation is like making its own hardship.
And they can't see it. That's the problem.
It's just a cultivate. You know? It's like, oh, back, you know, back in the day, you've got these women who throw these huge fits because they don't get to have their birthing plan. I've seen so many women who are like, no, no doctors, I want to be at home. But they're like, you need to be in a hospital, like something's going wrong. And they're angry and they'll sue the hospitals for saving their life and their child's life. But they're, it's because they're so far removed from when you're lucky to survive childbirth.
Yeah, like, wow.
It's, I don't know, there's just a disconnect where people are so entitled, but they don't realize what it took to get here. A friend of mine told me this analogy and it made so much sense. It was talking about something about a monkey climbing up a ladder, and when they got to the top of the ladder, they would get bashed on the head. And then, so they started, or it would electrocute all the monkeys down at the bottom or something of that nature. And then, so all the monkeys would fight any monkeys who tried to go up that ladder because they didn't want to be electrocuted. Well, after so many generations of these monkeys, all they knew was that they were just stopping each other from going up the ladder. They didn't know why. They didn't know what they experienced to stop these people from doing these things that hurt everybody. And it just makes a lot of sense to me in today's society. We're so far removed from it that we don't acknowledge what it took.
But they are more than willing to use the experience of the past to
But we're going to deny that the Holocaust was real, or that it was even as big of a deal as it was. I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah, no, exactly. No. the victim hierarchy thing drives me nuts. Absolutely. You know, it's whenever I bring up victim mentality in general, people are like, you can't tell me I have victim mentality. Well, it entails two things, really. If you're using examples that you did not experience and you're claiming victim to it, that's victim mentality. If you are, every time that a situation happens and you are automatically trying to convey your victimhood to their victimhood, as like it's a competition,
the one up,
then you have victim mentality. And these are the two issues that we're having.
And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The whole idea of, it's like me going to somebody and saying, I just found out historically that your grandfather, your great, great, great grandfather killed my great, great grandfather. And because of that, my family lost a farm that they could have passed down to me. And therefore, my current situation, not anything that I've, you know, anything up until this point or my own actions, it's because of that historical problem that I am not successful. And I'm going to continue to use that as a crutch. And you're to blame. You need to compensate me. And it doesn't make any sense.
And it is really taught is. To mess
and
the
so
problem.
It's so sad. You know, it's so sad.
People don't realize. They bring this up all the time, and they're like, well, you know, you, I don't want to say this. They have a term for it where it's like inherited victimhood
I know
or something.
You're talking about,
I can't think of it. Yeah. But they don't, you know, when they bring it up, like, well, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. It's like, you wouldn't either if somebody never mentioned it to you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's the problem you're having. You're talking about this fear that you have. You're talking about this oppression that you feel. If nobody ever told you about your history or anything that had to do with your ancestors or the reason why you're living the way you wouldn't feel these things because
Absolutely.
They wouldn't exist. You know, and that's the problem, is you're being taught to believe these things. You're being taught to feel the way you're feeling. And it's just
an
indoctrination
process.
And it's a mind
control that it's so sick to me. And it makes me so passionate to want to help. But, you know, the more you help, the more they're going to hate you. And it was designed that way.
Yes.
It was designed to keep the people who want to actually implement real change and real help out. Unwelcome.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're called names.
Absolutely. Yep. We're not welcome to the table to discuss this problem and to actually give real solutions or to find the source that's not what they think it is. And it's too hypersensitive.
Yeah. There's a girl that I just duetted, or I made a stitch to, and she's like 17, I think. And in her bio, she has vendor reparations. Yeah. You know, and it's just, you're 17, you know, like what brought this to your life? What made you think that you deserved reparations? I mean, mm-hmm. What have you lived? You know, probably lives in a nicer house than I do.
Yeah.
No, this victim culture is terrible. And I don't see it ending anytime soon because it's just for political gain at this point. And, you know, I'm really hoping, that's a word. I'm really
like
hoping that... making it up as I go, but it's working. No, I'm really hoping that a lot of, you know, there's a huge transfer right now of people from the left moving to the right, especially the Black community. You know, there's a lot of Black community that are starting to realize and be open-minded and finding out that they're not victims, and they're starting to move over. And I'm hoping that this progresses and that it keeps going and they start bringing more people
absolutely
over.
I'd even be willing to argue that they are victims, but it's not in the way that they think. It's they're victims
exactly.
of mental manipulation and hardship via, you know, mental slavery. It's so toxic, and it just hurts my heart to see them hurting, knowing that these people who are trying to supposedly help are actually causing more damage. And it's like they're either ignorant to it or they're evil at this point, in my opinion. They are either evil and they have an agenda that they're hurting these people, or they're completely ignorant to what they're doing.
I think ignorance is a lot of it. I think a mass majority of the nation.
Absolutely.
I mean, the education system definitely doesn't do what it used. I mean, they say that back in the days, like the House on the Little Prairie days, I think that's the name of the show. They used to like teach every kid the Constitution, you know, and they would learn the Bill of Rights and everything. Like, today,
they wouldn't even teach a cursive anymore, so you can read it.
Exactly. Yeah, they leave all the important stuff out, and now it's. You know, they're teaching, I think my daughter was in high school. That was my daughter, my niece in sophomore year. It was a freshman year. I mean, they had a thing on white supremacy, and, you know, it's just like, this isn't crap that we should be teaching our kids. We should be teaching them the history, you know, but stop indoctrinating with beliefs on who's a victim and who's not, you know, because every person's an individual. Obviously, there's no victims of race or of creed or culture today.
Everything is a step backward. Like, the people who are suffering in these communities that are minorities, there is so much suffering, but there's also suffering of every other skin color in those same predicaments, but they want to remove the variable of location and poverty and what's causing these places to, you know, the culture. Yes.
Family structure. Yep.
Poverty stricken inner cities. And when you remove that and you only say it applies to skin color, not only does it completely just throw your entire argument out, because anybody who's also experiencing that of a different skin color is like, what in the world? But you're doing these people a serious injustice, because you're not going to ever fix the problem if you aren't willing to look at all variables for the equation. So.
Yes. Yep. I know. I lived in the inner cities for like 3 months, and it was completely different than what I was used to. I went to a Little Caesars, and I tried to open the door, and it was locked. I'm like, really? It's like middle. It's like noon. Like, this is the time to get pizza. What the heck? And I saw people inside, and they're like pointing at something. I looked down, there's a doorbell. You had to ring this buzzer to get into this Little Caesars. And they're like, you know, I walked in, I was like, wow, that was weird. And they're like, where are you from? Like, that's normal.
Yeah.
Like, and the lady who was cashiering, she was probably mid-30s, and this was I was still in my 20s at the time, and I asked her what the taxes were, because this was a different state that I was living in. I just moved there, and I was like, what's your you know, your taxes, what's the percentage, or what's your cents on the dollar? And she didn't know. She is like, I could ask my manager. And I'm like, thinking, you're in your mid-30s and you don't know the tax percentage on the dollar? Like, you, and it was just a total different experience. The people there were just, you know, very, I don't want to be mean, but they definitely weren't educated in the area.
Right. And that's what's so sad and so scary. You know, I feel like they're doing that on purpose. They're just cultivating this society of people who are hurt people, you know, hurt people, and hurt people are willing to give up their freedoms for security. It's almost intentional.
Absolutely.
Like, there is no reason why kids shouldn't be able to. School choice. That's so huge to me. School choice and figuring out a way to fund these schools differently. What I don't understand, though, is they're talking about how the school system is racist and how the way we teach is racist. But who runs the school system predominantly? What political? Yeah. What political party does it typically lead? So it's like,
Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, goodness.
Exactly.
My children are
wanting
me to come inside.
Okay. Well, we are definitely over our hour, and we could almost do the whole nother episode sometime if you want to. That was an amazing podcast. Yes. Thank you so much. That was very fun. And definitely see eye to eye on a lot of topics, and then I'd like to
absolutely
get you back on.
I'm
this
sorry, one. I'm not very well at articulating my opinions. I kind of stutter through them.
Oh, I do too when I'm live on podcasts. When I'm on my TikToks,
it's amazing.
I sound a lot better.
Yeah, I just when I write things down, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not very good live,
you're
but
awesome.
It's okay. I'll let people hear my stutter.
I just, my customer service voice is on point tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Becky. I really appreciate
thank
this.
You.
And, I really hope that a lot of my followers go and read your comment and become fans of yours. Because if they do read it, they will
thank
become fans
of yours.
Thank you
so much. You are awesome. I appreciate it. And yes, absolutely. Anytime, I am honored that you don't be back in my babbling. So I appreciate you.
No, this is awesome. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun.
I appreciate it. I will hopefully talk.